It's really quite magnificent to see when people start loving their kitchen again and enjoying cooking, either by themselves or with a partner or with their children. And then their family starts feeling well. It's like the juice.
Yeah, it's so interesting to hear you say, I've always cooked and I've always entertained. And that is something I notice that a lot of women don't do. And even in the work that I do, so we start with diet because we have to remove the triggers of the inflammation because inflammation contributes to bone loss. And so it's the hardest thing is the food. And it's so weird. It's like we don't nourish ourselves as women. We take care of so many other people. And when it comes to ourselves, to spend any time, it's just we're out of practice.
Welcome to Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast. I am Debbie Robinson, your host and guide on your Stronger Bones Lifestyle journey.
My next guest on Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast is Peggy Curry. She is a lifelong educator, food entrepreneur, author, speaker, and award-winning health and wellness advocate who has spent decades supporting others on their health journey. From founding a nationally distributed organic brand, Evie's Garden Organic Marinara, to establishing a nutritional educational nonprofit that continues to serve over 250,000 public school students annually, growing great. Peggy continues to provide individualized health coaching for clients with hard-to-heal chronic symptoms for over 25 plus years. Peggy's healed her own family with food. All were diagnosed with gluten intolerance nearly 20 years ago. Peggy and her daughter Megan created Curry Girls Kitchen in 2012. Today on Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast, I am going to be speaking with Peggy Curry. She is the co-founder of Curry Girls Kitchen, and we are going to be speaking about food as medicine. Welcome, Peggy.
Thank you so much, Debbie, for having me here. Whew, it's a great topic. I love your niche. I love everything that you have created because it's so important, especially as we age in life.
Bones. And half of us are going to get a diagnosis of some bone loss. So it's like, okay. It's actually, I don't know if you know this, Peggy, but it's the number one disease in menopause, osteoporosis.
Yeah. And you know, it's really funny. I have to share this with you. When you called, I was like, wow, because I eat a certain way. I live a certain lifestyle. And I was actually recently diagnosed with osteopenia, just the very eked in. And I'm such a detective. I want to know why. And after doing like, you know, a lot of research, I realized that, you know, yes, food is medicine, but not all food is necessarily, even good food isn't always good for us for certain parts of our bodies. So,
yeah. And what I would say is too, I know your age, you don't have to say your age, but I know your age. And so I'm going to say that at your age to have osteopenia that didn't go into osteoporosis, it's actually a testament to the lifestyle you live because we're all going to have bone loss at some point. We start to lose our bones, our bone density in our mid 30s. And so we're all going to lose muscle, we lose bone density. So to just be eking into osteopenia, and that's a really great thing. So that just makes me realize, wow, see, it does work. The lifestyle you have, because I deal with women that have osteoporosis, finally just getting diagnosed. And some of them are even in their 40s and in their 50s with that diagnosis. So good job.
Well, and thank you. I went into menopause at 45. And so I can share, I am 68 this next month and I'm totally proud of it. I never worry about it. So it's good to be alive.
Yeah. It's just the package you live in. Like you are still the spirit that was 18. You're still that spirit in your 20s. It's just that the package that we live in gets, you know, we see what happens. And then what people don't realize is we get wrinkles on the inside. And this is where food can play such an important role. You know, we focus on the outside, putting on the creams on our face. People are getting Botox. Some people get plastic surgery. Food is that on the inside for the wrinkles.
It's so critical. And I can share with you, you know, I got started because 30 years ago, my mother was diagnosed at 60 with metastatic breast cancer. And she lived for 10 years. And in those 10 years, I did everything to help nourish her and feed her. And I studied a lot. That's when this whole journey around food started. But that generation, they were so skeptical. It really wasn't serving her. But what it did after she passed all those years ago, it put me on this trajectory of the people that I was meeting. I had, you know, I created a company called Evie's Garden Organic Marinara Sauce that gave money to breast cancer research and patient support that sold nationally. But I had four daughters. And after 6 years, I realized after helping some friends with cancer, and I was in that whole cancer world, I'm like, wait a minute, nothing that I'm doing to raise money for the disease is going to ever touch my family or my beloved friends or my clients. And so I switched gears and started teaching people how to eat for their health 30 years ago. So I started a business called Kitchen Blessings, teaching parents how to cook for their kids. Coincided with Growing Great, which is a school garden nutrition education nonprofit, still going after 25 years, and is national. And it's like, you know, everything that I have done circles right back to the food we're feeding our, nourishing our bodies as well as our families. Because for me, it's all about prevention. And I think, like what you said before, is like, we nourish our bodies from the inside out, and that's going to help us with this piece of longevity and strength for our bodies. And that's, to me, is like, wow. So, you know, I had Kitchen Blessings, Growing Great, and then my daughter graduated from college, and she's like, Mom, I want to work with you. Let's create Curry Girls Kitchen. And she became a functional medicine coach, and we created this beautiful company that, you know, still doing, we're all doing different things now, as she gets ready to have our first granddaughter, baby, which is so exciting. But, you know, it's, we love what we do. We love gathering, and the food is such a rich part of my family. And we have four daughters. My husband and I, we've been together since high school, married 52 years, and we were all sick. Every one of us were sick. I started off actually in my early 20s. For 10 years, I had severe panic disorder. I had IBS. I had ulcerative colitis. I had all these things that no doctor ever said, let's change your diet. It wasn't. And then my husband had severe migraines, debilitating, and joint pain. And it wasn't until we had kids and all our kids started going downhill that we were like, oh, something's up here. And through food and through my clients that I was teaching how to cook, they're the ones that helped us get tested, not the doctors. My celiac clients at the time, 20 some years ago, were like, Peggy, you and Megan need to get tested. You're always so sick in that way. So we did. And every one of us, all six of us, have the diagnosis of a gluten intolerance. And to me, it was a life-saving diagnosis. And I tell everyone, I said, be grateful. I prayed for it. I said, God, I don't need cancer in this life. Give me something I can teach and serve and explain to people how food is medicine. And literally 20 years later, we have a thriving family. So I couldn't be more blessed, you know, knowing what I know today. How I wished I knew it for my parents. Both my parents died of cancer. And, you know, I shared that with my kids when they were all babies growing up. And they were like, how do you keep your preteens on a gluten-free diet all those years ago? And I said, well, I had to cook damn good food. And I had to share it with all their friends. And you know what? I told them, I said, you know, you guys, Nanny and Poppy, they died of cancer. And this is what I know for sure today. What I know is that we have a 70% increased risk of a degenerative disease. And how I'm going to feed you in my home and the choices you make outside the home, that's going to be up to you to make those decisions. But I'm going to do my very best to keep you strong and healthy. So
that's great. So I have a question. When you were all diagnosed with the gluten intolerance, was that a blood test?
No, I'm so happy you asked that question. It was not. In my humble opinion, it needs to come from the stool because you can't tell if, you know, celiac is a blood test, but the sensitivity and the intolerance, and I speak about that in my cookbook, how it's the name only. It's the symptoms and how you feel of a celiac versus an intolerant versus sensitive, but they all are doing the same thing. They're degrading your intestines. They're closing up those villi that are nourishing our bodies. And it's just the reaction, your body, the severity of the reaction that your body gets when gluten, you eat gluten and your body can't assimilate it. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not good for anyone. So I run stool labs. That's one of my main labs that I run. And there is a marker in there, the stool lab that I run. The thing that people don't understand is that gluten is terrible for everyone. And you, that was really nice what you just said about it's the range of symptoms that is going to be determining whether this is an intolerance, a sensitivity, or an allergy. And it's just about how bombarded has your system been with this, because in so many ways, gluten, it's a hybridized product. If we've only been ingesting it for 1% of humankind on this earth. So it's only really been in the last, 70 years that we've had it to the rate that we do. It causes leaky gut. It inhibits the bile to secrete fat metabolizing, or gallbladder to secrete bile to metabolize fats. And it's everyone that's sensitive. Every single sensitivity test that I've ran, every single one is off the charts. And I mostly run labs on women with osteoporosis. So we all need to give up gluten.
You know, it's so interesting what you just said about the gallbladder. So my mom lost her gallbladder before she had cancer. And what I'm seeing is more and more doctors taking out the gallbladder. And I'm like, no, you don't have to. We need that gallbladder. But I find that especially people with autoimmune have a difficulty of the gallbladder because of what you just said, the bile. And, you know, it's all symbiotic. I mean, what I do is I teach people that we have these seven systems, and all those seven systems is like a domino. When one goes down, it's all going to affect all those symptoms. And so for what you teach, for the musculoskeletal and the bones and the density and the strength and all of that, people go, well, how does food relate to that? Well, if you're eating a highly inflammatory diet and you don't know it, and you're constantly joint pains, you know, bloating, headaches, psoriasis, you know, the gamut is so huge, right? All of the reactions are so many. There's a plethora that someone's going to have some kind of a sign. Your body speaks to you. And what we do is we turn it off. Oh, no, because the doctor tells you or about your child, they'll say, oh, they'll grow out of it. No, what happens is your body gets so tired of telling you over and over again, please stop eating this food, through some kind of little baby symptom or signal. And then those signals get bigger. And that's where, for me, I call this layering effect. And to me, like, I had this aha about my mom. You know, it's like this layering of, first, it's like really the base is this gluten intolerance or inflammatory response to the food, right? And then you get diagnosed with, let's say, you know, Crohn's or something. And then on top of that, then it's something else. And then it's cancer or it's diabetes or it's heart. It's like this layering because your body's so fed up with you not listening to it saying stop. And that's what I love about this. It changed our lives. This cleansing with food reset that we do, it's the discovery of which foods work best in your body. Everybody needs the signature of even great food might not work in your body. And so it's like, okay, you have this opportunity. And now we do it at least, you know, personally, I do it twice a year, but I teach these workshops all throughout the year. And it's such a huge gift to see someone finally know what I believe as true health. I call it true health. When you have that signature down and you know those foods that work in your body just runs like the humming of this perfect, pristine car. It just runs beautifully. We think, we feel, all of our systems are in balance. And in 21 days, at the end of it, you feel like, holy smokes. And it begins within the first week. People just like, Wow, I can't believe my blood sugar level is like incredible after a week. Yeah, it's just like it brings me joy watching people heal just using food and lifestyle.
Right. So is this like an elimination, your 3 week, 21 days? Do you start with elimination and slowly introducing and paying attention to symptoms or reactions?
So in the 21 days, the first thing that we do is we put you on a little elimination. You're taking all the inflammatory foods out. And then you're eating an anti-inflammatory diet for 3 weeks. And then, to me, the coup de grace, the powerful part of this is then you put back in the things. Like, first of all, if someone has autoimmune, anyone with autoimmune should never have gluten anyway. And so I say, you know, I highly recommend that you don't go back on gluten. But if you want to see where you're at around the dairy, the nightshades. Nightshades are a big problem for a lot of people, especially as we're aging. And I've seen more and more of that throughout the years.
Can you just say what those are though? Because I want like
yes.
this, we don't, not everybody understands like what are, I want the list of inflammatory foods or at least a few of them. And then also the nightshade, just, you don't have to say the exact list, but just give us some inflammatory foods and then give us some nightshades.
Yes. So the inflammatory foods are all the, you know, gluten, dairy, nightshades. Those are potatoes, tomatoes, eggplants, and chilies. They grow at night. That's why they're called nightshades. And they just wreak havoc on a lot of people. And not all of them, maybe just one or two, but there's definitely an inflammatory response. Things like we also eliminate coffee and alcohol, high sugar. There's certain fruits, you know, like the citrus, like oranges, strawberries, things like that. High sugar content foods, grains. So the gluten grains, you know, are the wheat and all varieties of wheat and rye and barley. And I'm a huge proponent to include oat because oat now, when they brought out all those oat milks and oat creamers and people started getting bloated, it's like it's also a problem. So we eliminate that. And, you know, just the spelt, anything that's a wheat variety is a no-no. So those are those inflammatory foods that we're eliminating. And then what was the other thing that you asked?
Well, you said nightshades, but you actually, when you came to them, you spoke about them. So yeah, those are the ones I also say sugar-free, dairy-free, gluten-free.
Yes. And then the top, like vegetable ones, soy, corn, peanuts. Meats, cow meat, specifically cow, pork. Those are
And the reason why I think it's important, because I think that people need to, we use 70% of the antibiotics in the US on our farmed animals. Mm-hmm. Cows are living so closely together that they're getting sores on themselves. When they milk the cow, blood and pus goes into the milk. So we have to really understand why there's a lot of infection in the practices that we have, especially the cheaper meats. And so this is partly why and they're eating grass that's got pesticides and toxins in them. So we're ingesting that because it becomes their flesh, because we are what we eat. They are what we eat. And if we eat them, then we're exposed to that. So I think it's important to kind of understand why.
Yeah. And the other ones that I think are very important are our fats. So highly heated, highly, you know, fried foods, and then corn oil, peanut oil, soy oil, all the vegetable oils. And so, you know, we need to be intentional because fat is so important for our body to know which fats are really beneficial. And so, you know, what you're eating is this plethora of seasonal fresh foods and, you know, olive oil, avocado oil, coconut oil, if your heart can handle it, ghee, if you can handle that. You know, things like that that are just so important for overall body metabolism. And then the other thing is you do get to eat wild fish, sustainably farmed organic chicken. You can have bison. You can have, what I say, you can have turkey if you eat turkey. But the whole program is so weighted in the vegetables because most people don't understand the importance of vegetables in our diet, you know? And especially, you know, looking into like, you know, bone health and strength, people don't even realize, you know, they'll say, yes, but milk, you know, those people, because I was a food manufacturer, the manufacturers do such a good job spending big dollars on marketing. So we've come to believe that milk and oranges are the two best go-tos for calcium, when in fact, leafy greens are so important. You know,
Yeah.
nuts and seeds and other things. So,
well, the thing too, so the milk is typically fortified, so is the orange juice, which is why that, and it's with cheap fortification of supplements. I run Hair Mineral Labs. I only put 50% of the ladies with osteoporosis on a calcium supplement. And if it's your body's not managing it well, it goes into the soft tissue, like the blood vessels and the heart. And then the thing about dairy, like you mentioned ghee, and we were talking about no cow, but ghee actually takes out the milk solids and it takes out the proteins that are triggering inflammation. So when sometimes people say, wait, this is butter and it's cow, but yes, it's got the milk solids out. So it's just removing anything that is going to trigger an inflammatory response, because the body inflammation leads to disease. And then from my work, the bones are storing the nutrients and the minerals that run the show, so to speak. So if you have an inflammatory show happening, the bones are dissolving to release what the body needs to run that show.
And you know, I think more and more what I'm trying to encourage people to do is to become intentional with their eating. Like people go, you're always in the kitchen. I said, yeah, my kitchen is my happy place. It makes me feel really good. And so when you actually have this intentionality of choosing foods that have benefit for your body, that are actually going to nourish you, and you're going to feel happier, you're going to have energy, you're going to produce better, you're going to be creative. I mean, it's just, there's so much goodness around it. And then the other thing that I think what this reset does, it helps you rotate your foods. I think people who eat, I don't know if you get this with your, you know, clients, but it's like people will choose to eat the same thing every day. And I'm like, no, 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 no. You're not getting all the benefit from all these other foods and nutrients and minerals that we need to have. And so I teach them how to rotate all their breakfast, lunch, and dinners. And, you know, it's really quite magnificent to see when people start loving their kitchen again and enjoying cooking, either by themselves or with a partner or with their children. And then their family starts feeling well. It's like the juice.
Yeah, it's so interesting to hear you say, I've always cooked and I've always entertained. And that is something I notice that a lot of women don't do. And even in the work that I do, so we start with diet because we have to remove the triggers of inflammation, because inflammation contributes to bone loss. And so it's the hardest thing is the food. And it's so weird. It's like we don't nourish ourselves as women. We take care of so many other people. And when it comes to ourselves, to spend any time, it's just we're out of practice. And the other day I received an email from a woman. She's like amazing. I mean, she's grabbing the bull by the horn. She's making all the shifts and she's noticing her symptoms are reducing. And she said to me, I made this salmon bowl and it only took me 15 minutes to make and it was absolutely delicious. And I'm like, wow, that is golden that yeah. She realizes how, because she doesn't even like to cook. She goes, I don't like to cook, so it's going to be my hardest thing. And then she said that it took her only 15 minutes. It really doesn't take so long when you're using food that's really close to source. You're using vegetables. You're not cooking too much. There's not a lot of time, really. Just we need to learn how to do this.
I love that about the salmon bowl, because in my cookbook, Damn Good Gluten-Free, I have salmon patties. And you can make them from fresh. But for bone health, get that wild Chinook pink salmon. And that for bone health is incredible. And you make these salmon patties that are so delicious. And then you freeze some of them if you're one or two people. But everybody, this one lady, she wrote a review and her favorite recipe was the salmon patties. And I just laugh because it's so simple. You know, you spend a little bit of time and you get these big results from the food. One of the other things that I think causes inflammation is the type of foods that we're buying and where you buy your foods. And you mentioned that just a minute ago. It's like people would say to me, you know, why do I have to buy organic? Well, chemical pesticides, the water, you know, things that are in the waters that these farmers are using. There's so many problems with how our food is grown, like how you were saying with the farming methods, same thing with our farms. So organic, sustainable, not all farmers can get that, you know, $7,000 certificate that says organic. But what you need to know, though, is that 33% of their farm can still use pesticides. So by going and shopping locally at a farmer's market, they have to, by law, say, I use zero chemicals. And they're what we call a sustainable farm or a regenerative farm, where the whole farm works together. And that soil health is so important because, as you know more than me, is the minerals that we need in order for our bone health. You know, specifically, how many people do you know that calcium and the magnesium, you know, that is not in our soil anymore, unless you're buying from a local source and you know that they're using regenerative practices and best practices for growing our food. So I think that is really important, because I think that too adds that inflammatory response that you don't even realize. So,
yeah, it's weird the way that we've all gone, where we don't cook as much anymore. We don't know where our food comes from and we don't think about it, but we actually need to, because it leads to disease and sickness and it leads to a low quality of life. And when women get a diagnosis of osteoporosis, they're in such a fear place of fracturing a bone. So there's a motivation to do whatever they can. And the Western medicine approach is, here's a pill, which doesn't work. And it does nothing for balance, for joint coordination. It does nothing for improving many of the other symptoms. And, you know, there's a lot that leads to be desired. So in order to be, you know, you were saying that your whole family at some, on some level had symptoms. And, you know, for some of the ladies I work with, they do have gas and bloating and diarrhea or constipation, low energy. Many of them are on thyroid meds. Many of them are on blood pressure meds or have high cholesterol. All of these things that are metabolic lifestyle related diseases, that the shift in food, something that really is simple, and look how much joy you get out of it. And the, I have some, I know some people that have gone through your program that just love it, and it's easy. And that's what you do. I think you kind of make it really easy.
Fun.
Fun. There you go. Fun. Okay.
I'm all about the fun. I'm all about the fun. Life needs to be fun and joyful. You know, at the end of the day, it's kind of like, why do it if you can't find the joy in it? Because the energy that we put in our food is what everyone feels once they're eating it.
Oh gosh, so amazing. Yeah, joy. I love that. Fun. I love that. Okay. How about you share? Because I love, like, I'm thinking as we're talking, I want to talk to you more about doing 21-day programs in my community, because it is the hardest thing. And to have something structured, what I find, I usually do a 26-day detox at the beginning of the year. I've done it 5 years in a row since 2020. And it was, it is the most amazing thing, because I actually commit to myself, to caring for myself, to nurturing myself. Even though I do cook almost all my meals that I eat, I take that extra time. So when you have a program that's structured in the way yours is, it's so valuable. It takes the thinking out of it, the guessing out of it. I'm sure you have shopping lists and menu suggestions, and they're all delicious. I've had your food. What's it called?
It's not. Oh, this is a Curry Girls Kitchen 21 Day Cleansing with Food Reset. So this is the reset book. And there's over, it's 100 pages, but it's, it guides you through the reset. And then there's 65, 70 clean recipes. And it's all videoed. So it's, it lives in the teachable. So that the, that's the reset program. And so it's really helping you, over everything. And then when you do it, so I'm going to start a cleansing with food. I'm doing an intro to cleansing with food on the 9th, and then
April 9th.
And then we'll actually dive in and start the cleanse on the following Tuesday. And everybody's welcome. It's like what you were saying. It's giving you a break, a time off for you to just focus on you and breathe and be mindful and conscious and love on yourself. And the emotional, this piece of you know, we detox our food, but there's this emotional piece that also that we, you know, we've grown up with these limiting beliefs or these stories. And it's, you know, people have food stories. My girlfriend wrote a book called Food Stories. It's like, you know, food is such an emotional piece in our lives that it's hard to give up your favorite foods. And people, when they go, it's, oh, you have to eat gluten-free, they freak out. And I'm telling them, because that's why my cookbook,
What's your cookbook?
Gluten-free. I had to really make sure my food was damn good. And this took 12 years in the making. But my kids had to learn and trust, as did my clients. And it's literally a roadmap. The first two chapters are the roadmap of how to go gluten-free. And then the recipes help keep you on the straight and narrow. And it's, you know, it's got 140 customizable recipes that are not just gluten-free, but dairy-free. There's variations for dairy-free, paleo, vegan, plant-based, vegetarian. And it's all set up in a way, either the index or there's actual logos on each recipe that tell you, oh, this you can swap out. Because I want people to succeed. And I know that you do too. It's like, that's why we do this calling that we're here to do, is to really help people find, for me, it's to find the joy in cooking and healing using food as the modality. And I've seen it over and over again in 30 years with the people that I've helped, from cancer to Crohn's to diabetes now, to every gamut that we can. Yeah. We can shift our trajectory. Our genetics are no longer defining who we are. It's up to us to make that decision, how we want to live in those later years, in those golden years. We want them to be golden years, you know?
We want the quality, Peggy. And if you think about our parents' generation, and we think about what did the 70-year-old or the 80-year-old female look like, it's different now. I mean, I take groups to Scotland and to Bali, and I take people in their 70s, and we are hiking up mountains to look at the sunset. And, you know, it's not your typical. So it's not that we have to be a certain way. It's not that we have to age a certain way. Food plays such a critical role. In yoga therapy, we look at five layers of the human being. And the very first layer, we call it the Anamaya Kosha. Ana means food, because it's the food layer. It is the physical body is made out of the foods that we eat. The eye cells, the bone cells, the muscle cells, whatever you've been eating is the information that then becomes your tissues. And so it's really profound when you think about it. It's like, wow, that really is true, right? The body takes in the nutrients. You have to digest, absorb, and assimilate. So I teach healthy gut, because you have to have a healthy gut for that digestion, absorption, assimilation. And then the nutrients become the building blocks of all of our tissues. And so you talk about joy, you talk about why you do this. I'm going to also bring in the word ease or easy. It's a lot easy. I mean, I cook all the time. They say it's so easy for you. But you know, when you were talking about your salmon patties, I'm going in my mind, I'm like, okay, so I wonder what aromatic she puts in there. I wonder what her binder is. Does she make a little relish for it? Like, I'm thinking of like that. And I'm thinking about, it sounds so delicious. I want to go make salmon patties right now, or salmon burgers.
They're on the website, so you can go and make them right away. They are on the website. The clean recipe is not, but it's still, it's so delicious. You know, there's so many foods today that allow us to be grain free as well. You know, Simple Mills crackers are the best binders if you need a little breadcrumb. Non-breadcrumb. Yeah, you just crush those almond crackers if you don't have an allergy to nuts. But in all fairness, you don't really need all that, you know? So it's awesome.
Okay, so why don't, could I, I'm just thinking, what would be like a real good, like, to get ladies started? So could you share, it could be one breakfast, one lunch, one dinner, just quick suggestion. And I'll help you too if you need something, but just something like, what are some of like your great, like in your book that you have, like what are like, what's a highlight breakfast? What's a highlight lunch? And easy, highlight, yummy, and fun to make.
Okay. So first of all, because of my cleanse and I've been doing it for so long, I love starting my day 5 days a week with a smoothie. And then I call my weekends chews. So they're kind of weekend chew foods. And I love lox bagels and cream cheese, but I've been making homemade bread. So that's over there. But to me, the simplest way to get a packed source of nutrients, density, are those smoothies. And what I really learned, Which for you, I was so excited. Have you heard about the prunes? Prunes, there's this study about prunes. Well, I've been using dates and I'm switching to prunes now. I'm gonna add some dried. I just got them at the farmer's market today. I was like, wait a minute, you have dried prunes. I'm like, yes, you know? So anyway, so smoothies is that. I love this question. And then for a lunch in the reset, that's your main meal. So I think having a big box of green lettuces, you know, the spring mix, and then what are we going to put in to just really make it even grander? But they're easy. You slice up red onion and cucumber and avocado, and then you can sprinkle the salmon or chicken or leftovers, you know, or roasted vegetables on it. You know, whatever you have leftover is great. And then simple meals for dinner, if you're not on the reset, like I sear everything. You never need to turn the oven on. I'm teaching you. Your Brussels sprouts seared are the most delicious, crispy, you know, wonderful vegetable that people hate. My husband is so funny. He goes, no one likes Brussels sprouts until you sear them or roast them crisp. But you get tired of turning the oven on and you just sear them in a cast iron. And oh my God, they're mind-blowingly delicious. So simple, right? Good olive oil, sea salt. And then my dinner recipe is three: a vegetable, a salad, and some type of protein. And I'll sear up a fish. I'll make simple chicken thighs that take no time with an Italian seasoning or herbs de Provence. And you have like six in a pack. So you have two for dinner, you know, and then you have some for lunch the next day. Or the almighty roasted chicken is the easiest one, right? Whoever invented that gave us cooks a really lovely out, you know? So, you know, just simple things that are, you can make them so delicious by what you add in, or just keep it simple. And then, oh, I know, my salad dressing makes everybody crave salad dressings. It's super simple, but over hundreds of thousands of children, this is how we know it's so good. Through our Growing Grape program, they grow these gardens, they have the salad, and these kids can't stop eating it because of this dressing. And that's our house salad. And mostly everything I'm talking about is on currygirlskitchen.com. So you can go have fun and, you know, look there. I have a really fun time on the Instagram. So that's Curry Girls Kitchen and Facebook and YouTube. We have like over 400 recipe videos there. And, you know, we're sharing a lot because, you know, that's what we love to do. And so lots of options and choices to get good, yummy recipes.
Yeah, and that word fun and joy shows through in your Instagram. And yeah, well, this is great. You've shared a lot. You shared a lot there with the recipes. Made it sound good. I'm getting a cast iron pan because there's a lot now talking about that's a great way to get iron. And I run stool labs. A lot of people have gut dysbiosis, and some of the species that overgrow in our gut consume our iron. And then if you have poor digestion, you're not going to be digesting your iron from your food well. So, lots of reasons why we need iron in our diet.
And I love that you talk about the gut health too, because that's also, we utilize a lot of fermented foods, but a lot of people with gut health, they can't start off right away with it. We have to slowly ease them in. Otherwise, it can just be an explosion for them. But as you slowly rebalance the gut, rebalance your hormones, rebalance your whole body, life is just like smiles, I promise you.
Okay, that is the perfect place to end and or not end, but begin. That's the perfect place to not have this podcast happening right now anymore. Whether more will happen or not will be great,
Love
but just moving on to, yeah, next. Peggy, thank you so much. You have shared so much wonderful information. I love to hear your story. Love what you're doing. You have been helping people find joy with food, find health with food, using food as medicine in a fun, delicious way.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Of
I'm
course.
awesomely grateful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And then below our this episode will be show notes and links out to a lot of what you shared today. So that'll be great. I hope a lot of women join your programs, buy your book, and join the gluten-free, healthy, yummy, joyful, fun cooking revolution.
Yes.
Woo!
Woo!
Thank you so much for listening to Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast. Bone loss is not an inevitable part of aging. We don't have to just wait for it to happen. There is so much that you can do. And that is what you will learn each week on the show. Go to my website, debbierobinson.com, if you want more information about what was shared in today's episode. At the bottom of this episode in the show notes, there will be links to whatever was shared. Please subscribe to this podcast. Share this podcast with your friends, your family, or any women that you think may be interested or benefit from the information we're sharing. Please rate the podcast. And if you have any questions you'd like asked or answered, I would love to hear from you. Let's do this, ladies. Let's change the way the world views osteoporosis and slow down, stop, or reverse our bone loss, take charge, and show other ladies what is possible. Thank you so much for joining me.